be with us. I want to add to what Brother Nauman has said in his announcements about the website. It's a work in progress because we're continuing to add various things. And you'll find in the bulletin the address that you can look on the internet and find that. Plus, we have the cards that you're welcome to take some of those. And we ask our members to pass them out. And if you'll notice, I had a thing in the bulletin this morning about how many contacts were being made in the website. So we urge you to keep up passing out the cards and let people know exactly what we're doing. There is a new thing being added by the way of debates. We're going to have people on there who have debated and put those up in written form. So you'll be able to look at that and see the best arguments that both sides has to offer, and then you make up your mind about that. We're also putting up an audio Bible. Brother Jerry Pike, who's been here in meetings, has a wonderful resonant voice, and he took the King James Version of the Bible, and through a massive effort, he has recorded every verse. And we're putting that up on the website so you can sit and listen to the New Testament as you're able to listen to that and participate in that part of our worship. This morning I want to go back to a passage in the New Testament that is really important for us as Christians. I'd like to begin reading in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. As we look at this particular chapter, the Apostle Paul has been instructing the church at Ephesus about how they were to be servants of Christ. And I recognize that a lot of times people call me the minister of the church, and that's not right. Each of you is a minister. You're a servant, and that's what the word minister really means. And so we're all servants of Christ, and one of the descriptions of the church is the vineyard, and that's where we're supposed to work and serve the Lord. Paul was talking about that in Ephesians chapter 4, so I'd like to begin reading with verse 7, if you'll be with me. In verse 7, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean? That he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. He himself gave some to the apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Those are rich verses, and I've looked at those this morning with you as we really consider the work of every Christian as we're talking about the gifts that Jesus Christ gave. In verse 7 it says that each one has been measured out according to the grace of Christ. And I believe that every Christian has a particular place of service, and our responsibility as Christians is to find that place of service and then to serve the Lord according to our ability. And on different occasions, the Apostle Paul, when he talked about the spiritual gifts at Corinth, he recognized that there was jealousy among them about the spiritual gifts. There were 9 of them, and some could speak in tongues, that is, other languages, miraculously. And that had sort of a show to it. It had and sort of an ego thing, and more brethren were wanting to speak in tongues than they were to prophesy. And Paul talked about that as each gift. He said, just because you're not an eye doesn't mean that the eye is not important. And if you're not the foot, doesn't mean the foot is not important. So it goes on to say that every one of us has a place of service. And it's so important to understand that. And in Romans chapter 12, there's another passage that talks about these various gifts that are given. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 12. And begin with verse 6 as we look at this part of the Word of God. In verse 6 of Romans 12, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Our ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. And so here are the different kinds of talents. And each of you can do that particular thing. Even mentions about those who are rich in wealth. They can give according to their liberality. But then serving with your ministry, whatever your particular place might be, that you look for a place of service, that you find a niche where you can be of use to the kingdom of Christ. And the point is that all these things, though they differ, they work together to build up the local church. And so as we work together and share our talents, we together can do more than what one might do individually. And it takes a serious approach to the idea of discipleship, that we look for the fact that we have a place of service. Peter talked about that in 1 Peter chapter 4. If you will take your Bibles and look with me there, 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter adds his own ideas, or the Holy Spirit's ideas, to this, beginning with verse 10 of chapter 4. He said, "If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever." And so the idea is that whatever we do, whatever talent you have, it's the idea we use that to the glory of God. We don't do it for the glory of men. Now, in the New Testament times, Jesus talked about the hypocrites among those who would make their garments long, make their phylacteries or the hem of their garments long, and they would put things on their forehead, pieces of scripture, to make themselves look really religious, but they did it hypocritically. And it doesn't matter if we do that sort of thing with fervor. It was just for personal gratification. It doesn't do any good. It's to be for the glory of God and to edify the local church and build up the local church. Now, this congregation needs to, as Paul said, to grow up in the use of those things, and we need to understand that. And the gifts that were given would be somewhat like a king passing out a gift. Please turn to Psalm 68, and there you have one of the passages that is given to think about this. In the Oriental times, if a king conquered a nation, he would take pieces of land or money or something and give it to the soldiers or give it to the inhabitants. He'd pass out gifts. Well, this is saying the same thing with regard to Psalm 68 and verse 18. It says, "You have ascended on high," and it's of course quoted in Ephesians 4, "You have led captivity captive, you received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there." When I think of him ascending, now, Paul points out that he descended. That is, he died and he was buried for 3 days and nights. But he rose victorious out of the grave and ascended on high. I've tried to connect in your thinking Acts chapter 1, which pictures the ascension out of earth into heaven, with Revelation 5, which shows Jesus coming into heaven. And as you see that, John, the writer, is weeping because the one upon the throne has a scroll in his hands, and no one is found worthy to open the scrolls. And then the elders say that Jesus Christ appears as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and as a slain lamb, he takes the scroll out of the hand of the one on the of the throne, and there are seven seals, and he begins to break the seals to set in motion what I believe was in the scroll. The scroll was the scheme of redemption until Jesus overcame and ascended into heaven. No one was found worthy to save souls. The blood of animals under the Old Testament could not save people. And it was a ritual looking to the perfect sacrifice, which was Jesus Christ. pardon me. So as we see these things, we recognize then that Jesus Christ overcame and is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Through Jesus Christ, the plan of redemption that we now have in the gospel was revealed, and we can know how to be saved by the gospel of Christ. And this is quoted in Ephesians 4 as Paul connects that to the idea of the king passing out gifts. And so you have a gift that came from the Holy Spirit, not in a miraculous sense, but as the grace of God permitted. Each of us has an ability of some kind. Some can sing, some cannot. Some can preach, some cannot. Some can minister in different ways. I remember one lady in North Carolina who was wonderful about going out and visiting the sick. And she would take food out to those who were sick. And sometimes when I'd get out to visit these people, she already would have been there. That was her talent. That was her gift. And she was using that, not bragging about it. Nobody else knew about it unless you followed behind her checking on the sick folks. And so this is the use of a gift that we can understand and use. And he talks about the one who ascended to fill all things. And I think again, when he talks about him ascending to fill all things, Jesus Christ on the cross said, "It is finished." And nothing remained of Jesus to do but to enter heaven and unroll the plan of redemption in the scrolls. As the seals were broken, one of them shows Jesus Christ on a white horse going forth conquering and to conquer. And that's simply a picture of the gospel of Christ going into all the nations. And the gospel of Christ will reduce all the nations down to all who want to be a Christian. And that's what Jesus Christ was doing as he ascended into heaven. And so now then, he has filled the church with gifts of service. He will turn to Ephesians chapter 1. There's a short scripture there that adds to our study. And as you think about this, I hope you're questioning what your gift might be, what you can do. In Ephesians 1 and in verse 23, the scripture says, talking about the body, which is the church, verse 22, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. The idea is that in Christ we're complete. I worry when I find brethren joining secret societies like the Masonic Lodge, because they suggest that something else besides what's in the Bible is added to you if you'll make your vows to the Masonic Lodge and if you will be initiated into the secrets of the Lodge. Well, Jesus told the apostles, "What I've whispered in your ear, you speak from the housetops." There are no secrets in the gospel of Christ. Everybody can understand how to be saved. Just read your Bible. Everybody can understand how to be a servant of the Lord. Everybody can recognize that somehow within me is a gift that I can use to serve the Lord, and I need to find my place in doing that. And so he talks about the apostles and the prophets. They laid the foundation. That is, you look back in the Old Testament as well as in the New, and what the prophets were prophesying is now contained in our scripture. We have the New Testament. And what they prophesied, we've talked in the past about Daniel 2, Isaiah 2, and Joel 2 being fulfilled in Acts 2. When you talk about fulfilling, that's what it's meaning here when it talks about he filled all things. There's nothing lacking. The church is complete the way Jesus Christ built it. Institutionalism as a doctrine is when people think the church is impotent. The church cannot do its work. And so we appoint various institutions to do that. For example, many believe the church cannot educate its members, and so we have to send them to a, quote, Church of Christ Bible school. And that's not right. They did have Bible schools supported by the churches in the New Testament, but you had people like Lois and Eunice, who were the mother and grandmother of Timothy, teaching them. But I've mentioned that the 84th Street Church in Oklahoma City this summer is going to have a class which it does itself of those who want to preach. if you want to learn more about preaching and learn how to do the work of preaching, then they're willing to have a class that will discuss that with you. And one of the young men that was there, Jeremiah Cox, has held a meeting here. And when he went to that, he decided, I want to preach. They showed me how. He's going to be an excellent young man coming on for the next generation of preachers because a church was doing its work. And we can do that sort of thing. And so the apostles and prophets were laying the foundation for what we know today as the kingdom of Christ or the church of Christ. And then the evangelists. And evangelists are simply proclaimers of the word. And they, of course, are teachers as well. And so one of the things that's mentioned in the in Ephesians 4 is the fact of evangelists. Someone is going to preach the word. It's astounding to me and astonishing in a way that God chose to let men preach the gospel. You'd think it'd be written across the skies, or you'd think it'd be shouted from the rooftops in some way. And yet the Lord told the disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And that's our responsibility today. That's never going to be completed because as long as there are people who need the gospel of Christ. Paul wrote to Timothy and talked to Timothy about fulfill your ministry. Preach the word. Be instant, in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering. For the time will come to not endure sound teaching. And so this is going to go on and on and on as long as the world stands. We need those who are going to preach the gospel of Christ. And then pastors. Now here's a word that's thrown about without any real understanding. There are six terms in the New Testament that refer to elders, pastors, presbyters, bishops, overseers, and one more. So as we look at these are the same men looking at the different kinds of responsibilities. A presbyter is an elder. You take the Greek word and you translate it and you see what is there. A bishop is an overseer. And a pastor is a shepherd. And you look at those six terms and you understand that this is the work that elders are supposed to do. It is not scriptural to have one pastor. Most denominations do. But it's not a scriptural use of that term. And I try to get people to understand that. If you want to know the qualifications of pastors or elders, look at 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1. And that will tell you who is given the right and responsibility of being an elder. And then teachers. And folks, there are never enough teachers in the church. We need to grow some teachers in the local church. We recognize that sometimes people say, well, I don't know how to teach. Well, ask for an opportunity to teach by going into a class where another teacher is teaching and see what they do. And when you study your Bible and have the Word of Christ living in you, you can be a teacher. And you teach others the gospel of Christ. And we really need a lot of teachers. And, of course, it is not refined to the Bible classes here. Teachers can teach from home. You find a man and his wife in the New Testament teaching others together. And that's something that teachers can do. And we read about those in 1 Corinthians 12 and Colossians 1 and Colossians 2 to be teachers of the Word. And what is so good about that is the teacher always learns more than the students. That's just the way that it is. When you really get down and prepare for class, you're learning so much more that you're trying to impart to the students, but in the process, you've learned more than they did. And that's the rich reward for being a teacher. And then preparing each member for the perfecting of the saints. When we say perfect, you understand we're not talking about perfection in the ideal sense. The word is used in the New Testament as mature, having all your parts in place so that you can do the work of service and it will the work of ministering unto the building up of the body of Christ. And so the church is going to profit by all of these gifts. We profit from the standpoint of the apostles because we have their writings. They are still apostles through the word, and we don't need new apostles, and somebody's always trying to appoint an apostle. Well, in Acts chapter 1, we found out who's qualified to be an apostle. Somebody who was with Jesus from the time of his baptism until his ascension. We cannot have new apostles today because no one fits that qualification. But as we recognize this, the purpose of everything I do is to build up the local church. And, of course, to glorify God. We want to be sure to put an emphasis there. Brethren and friends, when we do our work of service, the local church is going to grow. But at the same time, we're going to be glorifying God in everything that we do because it shows the wisdom of God. When somebody says, we don't have any Church of Christ colleges, they mean that the church doesn't have any colleges that are supported by the church. Well, there's some that do. In the liberal camp, they are those who say that we're going to send money to the Church of Christ College. That's wrong. The Bible doesn't support that sort of thing. Also, there are those now who want to have Church of Christ hospitals. They say the Catholics have a hospital, the Methodists have a hospital, the Baptists have a hospital, the Church of Christ needs a hospital. No, that's not the work of the church. The work of the church is in order to build up a local church to save sinners by preaching the gospel and edify the local church. Yes, we take care of our members and benevolence. That's what the Bible teaches in Acts 6 and other places. But it's not the work of the church to be a hospital for the entire world. That's just God didn't assign the church that particular work. And we have to recognize that. And as these members, you, exercise your gifts, what you're doing, you're leading other members to greater faith. They see you, and they recognize, well, I can do that. And so you encourage others in that way. And then prepare each member to put on the armor of God. Ephesians 6 gives the list of the armor of God. And it's evident that God wants you to put on the whole armor. You don't just pick out one piece of armor and put it on. You put on all the armor of God. And as you do that, you're prepared to do the work of a teacher and a Christian. And it says, so we all attain unto the unity of the faith. Brother Powers, in his prayer, often talks about the fact that we all learn to speak the same things and do the same things. Well, that's exactly what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4:17. He said, I preach the same thing everywhere in every church. Folks, that can't be done today. I can't go down the street and go into a denomination and preach the gospel of Christ because they've got their creeds. Every creed is a dividing line between other believers. And creeds are wrong and sinful, and all of them need to be burned up. But we recognize they're not going to do that, so we have to continue preaching the gospel. And folks, one of the most beautiful passages in the Bible, and I know they're all inspired of God, but the idea of your goal. Your goal is to reach a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Doesn't that warm your heart? You could say, well, I'm better than that person, and I'm better than that person. That's not the point. The point is, you measure yourself against Christ. And as you do your service for the Lord, you're measuring yourself against the perfect standard, that's Jesus Christ. We'll never reach it. But we just have a measure of the standard of the fullness of Christ. And we'll be benefited, and the whole church will be benefited when we have that. And so we need to mature and have a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in our lives. And he says the reason why that's so is we're no longer children. Now, the Hebrew writer and other parts of the Bible speaks about the fact that we become Christians as we're babes in Christ. But we're to desire, 1 Peter says, desire the sincere work of the milk of the word that we may grow thereby And eventually, we'll be able to understand the meatier works of the Word of God, understand the meat of the gospel. For example, the book of Romans is so often misunderstood. But we're no longer children because children in the faith are pulled away by different things. And I've seen that. I've seen where someone has not grown as they should. And some false teacher will come along and promise them worldly things, and they go after that. And Paul says to Timothy, that's following people that have itching ears, that they want to have that. And so it's the deceitfulness of error, and it's out there. You have to understand it, that you can watch television programs that have all the accoutrements of flash and music and almost like a carnival, and that'll draw some people because they like the carnival. They like the joy. They like the excitement of that rather than understanding the maturity of the gospel of Christ and using ourselves in the service of Christ. And that's something that we need to do. And he says, what I said a moment ago, grow up. Grow up in all things, speaking the truth in love under Christ, who is our head, and increase of the body, and the building up of itself in love. Now, that's a big job, isn't it? But the Lord didn't assign us something we can't do. This is something that we can do, and I think we are doing it right here. It's not that we are mature enough. It's not that we're servants enough. We have to try to improve year by year by year. And we show that by bringing in friends that are not Christians and let them understand the gospel of Christ like you do. And so this leads me to my next subject, our gospel meeting. Coming up next Sunday, Brother Stan Cox will be here. He'll teach the class. He'll preach through Wednesday night, every night at 7:30. And that was designed to give those who live some distance away more time to get here through the traffic. And we understand the traffic is very bad. But Brother Cox will be here. He'll be preaching the Word, trying to bring souls to Christ. Now, our job is to take a flyer, give it to a friend, give it to a neighbor, invite them to come with you. And it's so simple to do if we'll use our ministry. And that's what this is about. And so during this coming week, starting May the 6th, we have an opportunity to be faithful servants, to reach out to people, to edify our neighbors and our members, and to grow up into Jesus Christ. And those are things that we need to understand. So Christ gave gifts for service. They're building up the body of Christ. Each member works to increase the body of Christ. It depends on each one of us in our own particular ways. There is no clergy or laity distinction, but some have priests, and then they have those that are non-priests. The Bible says that each of us as a Christian is a priest before God, and we offer up our living sacrifice, Romans chapter 12. That's pretty much my lesson for this morning. We hope and pray that you'll think about your place of service. Have you found it yet? Maybe you're still looking, but you have to understand that it's there, and that the Lord expects us to grow up and have a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And as we do that, we're going to be growing as a child of God. There's someone here this morning who's not a Christian. We encourage you to do what Jesus said to do. It's not our creed. It's not the Church of Christ creed. It's the will of Christ. Mark 16:16, 15:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We still practice that because that's the Lord's command. If you need to obey the gospel or repent of sin, as he's done publicly, we'll pray with you and for you that your life will be right with God. As we stand and sing, we invite you to make your way to the front.
There's a fountain for you and me. Let us is a mount of love from the source of love, and he bids us all freely breathe. Will he come to the fountain and bring? Will he come to the fountain?
apologize if it got a little bit warm. I see some fanning. It's sort of hard to know how to set the thermostat. We have it cold one day and hot the next day, but we'll start cooling down the building. And remember, tonight we have a song service. So I ask the men to prepare for a song, to lead a song, and have, if you don't read a song, have a scripture reading or a prayer, and we'll have the Lord's Supper this evening, and for those not able to this morning, and we'll hope and pray that all of you can come back tonight. Anything further before we draw to a close? Let's please bow together while we have the closing prayer.
Our God and Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this day, for all the blessings that we have from your hand in this life. We pray, Father, that each and every one of us here was edified this morning by the worship, that you were glorified in the truth of your word, and that all might be stronger in the faith as we depart from this place. We are mindful, Father, of our sick. We continue to pray for them. We ask you, Father, to bless them with their physical health and to be your will. We pray, Father, that we can serve one another, that we can help them and minister to them in ways that they need, and that all, Father, might be stronger in the faith. We love you for your blessings. We love you for your Son. We're so thankful that he came to this earth and lived that perfect life and gave his life on the cross for us. We're thankful for the kingdom that is in his name, and the blessings and the promises that we are to expect, and that we can work and strive to do your will. We ask you, Father, to be with us as we leave from this place. Help us, Father, to discern between good and evil. Help us, Father, to flee from evil and to run to good, and that you might bless us and strengthen us and see us all the way home to heaven. I ask you to be with us now. It's in his name. Amen.
Amen. You look so familiar.
Thank you. I'm already done.
So Paul wrote them this letter, and
talks about the fact that if you run too hard for the law, you have to keep the law.
I would be to that.
And if you go back to the law, you don't have fun.
Take one of those and put you to sleep.
No, no, but
But don't find that nobody else can because they're not sin. You had Cornelius, and he was a Gentile. He was the first Gentile to be converted. And he saw this sheep that was let down out of heaven with all kinds of animals. Well, Cornelius, but Peter saw that because they didn't want Gentiles in the church.
Peter was dressed for.
But what did they tell Peter? What God has cleansed, let not man.
Yeah, I know.
Okay. So then,
apologize. I saw Peter. Who saw Peter's name? Now, he was at the camp, and the guy named it was like cousin of Meyer, Meyer would be a now, Sam would have, Nick Botanic is probably the person taking a DNA animal.
Makes sense, render out of it.
No, you take an animal, you would put like, you use shoes, and you gotta take the you to do the stuff. And that's what the guy was doing. And he lived by the lake when he got cold water to do everything. If I had a he would go to the roof cleaning. And he was trying to stoke him at the same time. He was trying to stoke him to the Gentiles were being accepted.
That's right.
The whole thing.
But how
he went to particular needles was working, you know.
Well, what good the sheep and its content?
He goes through the head different animals and their murders and fowls and all that kind of reptiles. And Paul completed people saying that how did that get into clean just in my mind. And he said he had a lot of clean. He was trying to show people like a Gentile.
Well, it did, because he showed them all kind of unclean animals. But what was the purpose of the unclean animals? To show that you can't draw a line against them anymore. And Paul told Timothy, you are to receive the food with thanksgiving.
Now, if
you can't eat pork, you don't do that.
Yeah, and he wouldn't show him about serving. He was moving out there with a good woman talking about such cows and that he can go up in paradise right now. He should eat the fat and he should eat the blood.
Well, they're saying that the argument we don't eat blood is not because of the Old Testament, but because of the
Christian. But we should eat the
fat.
I agree. Well, you see, that's your choice, but the fact of the matter is, if you're going to keep that part of the old law, you've got to keep all of it.
We're all going to lose that.
But that isn't the point. The point is that it's true.
I have a 90-year-old grandmother. Well, she's also 90-year-old. And she keeps saying, you can't say that like every time.
That's right.
Yeah,
some people can't.
So you're trying to bind Old Testament law. And when you do, Paul says you've got to respect all of it. You've got to keep all of it, which means animal sacrifices and the whole bit. And if you go back to the law, you violate Christ.
So then, animal sacrifices, you need to help kind of sacrifice. It's basically just for the couple. Have you not even, we wish to see it, we see it in the world. And God is celebrating they're like those scapegoats and all some different rituals going on. But Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament. And his blood covered all of us. Even by people that
his blood covers us, we can't remember that time in Christ. We can't get to the blood without Jesus. They are then violating the word of Christ because Jesus said, Mark
16.
But you're going by what other people, just go by the word. That's the reason why I told you today. I said, you kept trying to tell me your version. I said, well, tell it to me in the Bible. I said, because I have come to say, I'm with my part of my life. And even if my love over here, I'm going to have to say it's life.
But he confessed Jesus Christ. And you cannot be saved without baptism because in baptism is not the water, but the blood of Christ. Notice, you're baptized into his death, Romans 6. You're buried with
something for
practice and life walking news of life. But that's Romans 6.
Some people say brain feels like
I'm looking at the Bible.
Why do you study?
creating.
And he just got a lot of shirts on his Friday.
Something with the anchor. I think that's hilarious for that guy.
Same fact, therefore, the believers who cover his classes made us free. They're free from the law. That's what Galatians is saying. And do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. That's the yoke of bondage. That's the old law. Don't be entangled in that again. Indeed, I Paul say to you that if you become circumcised, Christ will cost you nothing. The reminding circumcision as a part of the law.
Yes, I must say.
Okay, let me finish. And I testify again, every man who becomes circumcised is a debtor to keep the whole law. And if you keep one part of the law, you've got to have all of it.
Where the fifth commandment is still this world, which world do we not keep?
The Sabbath.
Why
because Jesus rose from the dead on the first day. That's the Lord's day.
I know Jesus was born right when you get convicted, you're going to be with you. You can't be on the Sabbath for common.
No, on the Sabbath. You can be raised on the first day of the week.
I knew the first day of the week. It's chance to be.
On
every 3 days, because he was a Passover lamb.
Okay.
And the Passover lamb was crucified on the Passover lamb. So 3 days after Passover was the first day of the week.
Okay.
That's just a meaning.
Well, it's not a meaning. It's the point is that Jesus claimed that day.
Now, this here, the Passover, he was able to come with his definition. And what would happen on the Passover? 3 days later, he was the first day of the
week. When have you kept the Passover? When have you kept the Passover?
When was the Sabbath?
When do you keep it?
What should we have to keep it?
It's part of the law. Do you keep the Passover?
No, I don't keep the Passover.
Well, why then do you keep the Sabbath? It's part of the law. If you do one part of the law, you're bound to keep it all.
It's a Passover for the Lord, that's right.
It's part of the law, but
all of the feasts will be agreed at this day. And in the millennium, is it?
No, there's no millennium. We're in the millennium now. We got a lot of study to do.
When Jesus comes back to reign,
he's reigning now. Don't you believe the kingdom has been set up yet?
So you're saying here.
The church is the kingdom.
Is the church a kingdom?
No. The king, Jesus said to those who heard him speak, Mark 9, verse 1. Those who hear me speak will not taste of death until they see the kingdom come with power. When did that happen? Jesus arrived at it. He came on as truth. That's when the power of the Holy Spirit came. The kingdom came on as truth. It was the church. The church came on. The kingdom is now the church. And when you sleep, the church means to call out people. The kingdom says Jesus is our king. It's the same people.
Call my husband something made with this. You do it. Call my not like the world.
That's right.
A lot of things. That's right. What doors do.
You're called out.
But
you're
called out. You're called
out. You're called out. You're
called out. You're called out. You're called out.
The same people that are the church are the same people in the kingdom.
It's a lifetime.
Do you believe the kingdom came in the lifetime of those who are Jesus?
I don't understand.
You didn't answer me. Do you believe that the kingdom of Christ came in the lifetime of those who heard him speak? Did the kingdom come in the lifetime of those? Jesus said it's going to come in the lifetime of you who heard him speak. Did it or not?
He was
better for me. No, he said my kingdom.
It wasn't generally.
Yes, his kingdom. His kingdom came in the lifetime.
He literally came in the lifetime.
here running right now. He's ready to go on. He's in heaven. He's in heaven right now. That's our guess. Satan is here until the judgment is out. Well, he still lures people. Terry, y'all want to have lunch over here?
Right now.
I agree. Satan's here, but that doesn't mean that he's here. Oh, no, no, Daniel gave the calendar with the cutting of the shingle.
When Daniel was praying at the temple,
Isaiah said that the kingdom was going to begin in Jerusalem. And so that all fits into Acts 2. Isaiah 2, Daniel 2, and Acts 2. And you've got the kingdom of Christ coming in Acts 2. And it's called the church. It's
my
church. They were called out people. It's the kingdom because he's king and he's reigning now. He's in the kingdom right now. The kingdom is either in us or not. Then it's the kingdom. The kingdom is here. And Paul, John said in Revelation 1, he's with us. Well, Jesus
said,
John said, yes, the literal kingdom, the literal kingdom of Christ is now here. And John said that he was in the kingdom when he wrote the book of Revelation. And the ruler over the kings of the earth, the Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, He has made us kings and priests. Where are kings and priests? In the kingdom. And He goes on to say, here it is, verse 9. I, John, your brother, and companion in the tribulation and kingdom. He was in the kingdom.
Death has
to be. Death has to be. No, death hasn't told us. There's nothing in 1 Corinthians 15.
The language, the lay down,
that, now, that's figurative language.
Is that figurative?
No, it's
figurative.
And here's what it is. In the kingdom, us whites and blacks are evil. Yes, but especially Gentiles, you see, Gentiles came into the kingdom under Peter. And John said, I'm in the kingdom. And Jesus said in Mark 9:1, that these people that are rich people will not taste the death until you see the kingdom come to power. That's how
that
it
is.
That's how it is.
He was talking to Peter.
Peter,
he
was talking to the people who heard him speak.
I'm going to give you a couple of things. You can take letters in the Bible from the book of Jesus. You can take that name and write it down. But the first team, write it down. Mm-hmm. And on the right side of it, write the meaning of it. And it's going to give you a message.
No. There are no hidden messages in the Bible.
It is a message.
Let me show you one thing. The kingdom is here. In the words of Jesus, those who heard him speak were not going to die till they saw the kingdom come with power. And the power came when? All right. That's when the kingdom started.
That was the church age stuff.
Well, that's the kingdom.
The church
and the kingdom is the same thing.
Okay. And I don't know where I know something to do with that. Thank God always free. And he tells you to take his first miracle, whatever it is.
He came.
Right. Reason why he's able to live in peace. Because of love starting now. See, if you're not a part of here to understand the church, you have to understand our Hebrew way. Okay. And then you can take a story.
He's been everywhere.
That's why I know. I couldn't let you tell me this morning because I got to have it more. You telling me a love story. I want to tell me the love Bible.
But here's the plan of God, that you listen to his word and you're not listening to his word.
I don't agree that God has did away with the four commandments.
Then Galatians 5, you've got to answer that. This is your problem, not mine.
It is your problem.
And the reason why it's your problem is because you're coming to
the law. God never needed ordained but you go to church on the first day.
Yes, it did.
Absolutely.
Well, here's the point. You're in a bad situation. Because if you're going to hold to the Sabbath, you've got to keep the whole law. That's what the Bible says. Well, that's Galatians 5.
Because the commandment is a commandment.
But they're done away with. They're done away with.
So the commandment is done away.
All of the fulfillment of the law was to bring Christ into the world.
The commandment was in
the world. Yes,
it was. The law was put into the commandment. The law gave Moses the shield commandment.
Don't you believe the first commandment was the law?
Right. I'm going to tell you a reason why I'm going to make you more. You go to every country, and every country has to have a law to govern the people. Now, when God took Israel, for the word is people, it was thousands of men. In order to govern this people, you're going to have a law. When you go to worship, they got their law.
Well, that's what we're
going to do. When you go to miracle, they got their law. If you go to Mexico, they got their law.
You go to Africa, they got their law.
And then you
have to say, what's the point?
You want to have a law to govern people.
Well, we've got the law of Christ. It is. It's the law of Christ.
And what's the law of Christ?
The New Testament.
And Lucas don't have no law.
Sure does. It's the law of Christ.
Okay, you get the law that way.
The law of Moses.
The law of Moses.
The law of Moses.
It's clear.
Yeah, yeah.
The book of Hebrews. Yeah.
The law of Moses, and we know. I know part of it. They have these preachers, because Jesus is a high priest.
Okay.
Jesus,
but you're ignoring
the Jesus not heaven. We don't have the earthly fruits.
We are.
How are you saying all that?
Well, Peter says that we're priests of God in the kingdom. And you haven't agreed with the word of God here, but you have denied the word of God.
So you're saying that the way God deals with the church is different the way he's going to deal with the Jews.
It's all under the law. There's one law in the Old Testament and the law in the New Testament.
God is not dealing with us the same as he did with the Old Testament.
Sure he is.
Oh, okay.
Sure. No, it's...
Where are you getting this from?
No, he's not dealing with us the same way.
He was dealing with us as king in the kingdom.
He's not dealing with us the same way you feel dealing with them.
We've been
drafted in. It says, when the poor men of Gentiles come in, and then
that happened already. That's him.
Yeah. People still being saved.
Well, of course, that's him. Open the door. But Gentiles are still coming in, but we're not Jew and Gentile remain anymore. We're one man in Christ.
Jesus actually haven't happened.
There's not going to be a rapture.
You just say that we don't have
to. There's not going to be a rapture.
No, seriously.
When Jesus, look at 1 Corinthians 15. Listen to this. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15. Paul said about the resurrection that he will continue to reign. He'll continue to reign until the last enemy is overcome, and the last enemy is death. He's still reigning now because death still happens. Brother, that's what the Bible says. I'm just speaking the word. Your doctrine has blinded you against the word. I'd like to keep studying with you. I'm studying, quoting the scripture. If you keep one part of the law, you've got to keep
it all. In order to have peace on earth, it isn't a system. You're going to have to have all the
The United Nations tried that. They're going to keep it under the
system. You're going to have to have one religion and one
government.
There
should be one religion.
It should be one religion.
You're going to have to have one religion.
Where did you pick that up? When the church started in Acts 2,
it was like this.
Show me that in the Bible.
In Acts 2, there wasn't a Baptist church, there wasn't a Roman Catholic church, there wasn't a Methodist church. All those are false doctrines brought in years later, but there was a church.
It's
the same people.
No, it ain't.
Sure, they are.
They got a church going in Christ. They can use the church Christ.
You can use the name. The name is not copyrighted. But what they pay to make a church of Christ or a church of God in Christ, doing His will, they're not doing His will. They can use the name. But they're not. I can use the word Jesus Christ. I'm Jesus Christ. That was made so, and you know it. But there is a church in the first century. Jesus said upon this rock, Peter confessed that he was the Christ, I will build my church. That church started in Acts 2. And the church is the kingdom. Otherwise, Jesus lied in Mark 9:1. Have you seen anybody over 3,000 years old?
Lord, Saint Peter, the chief of the
life. You changed the tune. You're changing the
church. You didn't say that when it's locked. And then he named Peter. But you look at the definition of Peter, it's a piece of the rock.
Okay.
Jesus is the rock. He is the major cornerstone.
That's
and
right.
When Peter said that, Peter never was looking for a neighbor, but they were looking for a military leader.
That's right.
He didn't know people understand what he was saying.
They didn't understand.
He didn't understand.
When they got the Holy Spirit. Let me give you scripture. John 14:15-16. Jesus told them he was going to send the Holy Spirit. He would guide you into all truth. He would bring to your mind all the things he had taught. That happened in Acts 2.
Peter fully understood. So why were you there for Jesus when he went out? So the Spirit went out to the Gentiles too. He was very trying to teach Peter. He was training Peter and showing Peter that the salvation for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Peter did not fully understand that you're being.
No.
The day of Pentecost, came way before the human
Christ.
But the point is, fully understand, but then Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. He'll bring to your mind everything I told you, and he will lead you in all the truth. I was trying to explain the Holy Spirit, and basically, it's the best man. Okay.
So you're making an analogy to the Bible.
Now, every time I ask you, I ask you to show me the Bible.
I told you, I got something for you. If you can see Jesus is talking when Sarah would die. Okay? And Isaac was something like 40 years old.
But what's that have to do with the kingdom?
If you listen,
You listen.
Okay. How can
just
we bring
this up to her? You need to follow the story. You can tell it. The story has got in there. Okay. And Eliezer was going to find a wife for Isaac. She represented the church. And Eliezer represented the Holy Spirit.
No. You're drawing conclusions that the Bible
is wrong. He's just Okay, and so when he got there, he brought his camel along, and he went back to his house to find a wife for Abraham, the comfort, for his mother. Now, Abraham says, we'll come here to ask for water. The Holy Spirit, basically, the Holy Spirit. And he will stop and tell her, this is from Isaac. He wants you to have that. And he'll put it on your leg. And he'll go so far. He wants to aim at God to say, this is from Isaac. He wants you to have this thing, put it on your leg. And he goes
so far. But
the point is that when we are a church, and we are go so far,
And that's the caliber that is marked by
Jesus' resurrection from the dead.
Yeah. Let us agree with each other. We are a pagan.
The friend of this
novel. This is what I have in you do your
part. Have a full moon in the beginning of every month. Did you see the full moon there in that? So let that be known. And a day later, it will be the first day of the month.
Where did you get this from, though? Show me it. Where? Where?
Oh, I have to get no woman liking on me up here today. So how did Jesus be with him
today? No, he's like Melchizedek in that Jesus is now high priest. He's in everybody. If he was on earth, he couldn't be a priest because he's in the tribe of Judah. He is a priest in heaven right now. If he came back to earth, you talk about the premillennial period, he comes back to earth, he couldn't be a priest on earth because his priest is right with Levi. Jesus came from Judah,
you know.
Now I'm telling you the truth.
And then yes, you tell the truth, and you know. But now, I'm going to ask you again.
Okay.
Who is Melchizedek?
He was a man.
He was a priest. He wasn't an earthly man.
Yes, he was. He was, and Abraham...
If he was an earthly man, if he was an earthly man, then where was the king?
He
was the king of faith.
No,
king of faith. He wasn't. He was an earthly man. He's king of titles. King of titles. We know king of titles here on earth, but no title on earth.
Yes, there is. Salem was later called Jerusalem. And he was
in Jerusalem when he was around.
Yeah, it was Salem then. It was Salem then. So he was
praying. And in Jerusalem. And even Jerusalem then was a Canaanite. They were worshiping idols and material sacrifices. And that's the reason why God wanted to kill them all.
Yes, I agree.
Because the whole land was contaminated. And God wanted to kill them all, the reason being because they were going to start doing like them. And they did not go kill them all like they were committed to do, yes. Like they should have done. They didn't quit.
And
that's why they go
play the game. I love
them. And that's why the God left Jerusalem in the temple. He left. And he was the Babylon.
I agree.
He left the Babylon because
Melchizedek was the king of Salem, which was Jerusalem before the Jews had it.
How can God?
Look it up.
Remember that God would not be in the ungodly place.
If not everybody was ungodly.
That whole place was ungodly.
No, because he was a priest of God, and he was worshiping God correctly.
Even there in that area, there was in the holy area, and Abraham was living there, and he brought his nephew Lot.
Mm-hmm.
That was down there in the area where it was most corrupt at, and that was over there.
Sodom
and Gomorrah and all the cities and all of them around that was corrupt. But you saying that God was a priest down there with him?
No, I'm saying that there was a man who believed in God who was called Melchizedek, and he was a priest and a king of Salem. But what the Bible said?
And how large was Salem?
Pardon?
How big was Salem?
It was a village probably at that time. It was very small, but he was king of Salem. You can Google this, Salem became Jerusalem later. And that's when David ruled there. And Melchizedek was just a man who had no priestly
ancestry. He had no earthly mother on
fire. Right. And with regard to his dominion, just with regard to his priestly,
every man had to have an earthly mother.
He was the father. Sam, you have to keep context. The context was that he was a priest of God, and before him, he had had any priesthood.
He had like in the days of
God. His priesthood,
he was nothing unto God.
He was just a man who was a faithful
priest. He did. Yeah. I give it as basis of the Holy Spirit.
No. Let's keep studying.
You're the basis of the Holy Spirit.
Have I asked you to read Galatians and Hebrews? And yes. Then let's get together.
Well, the Holy Spirit is a person.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But he was Melchizedek.
Because God is the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Yeah.
But
Melchizedek has a basis of
the Holy Spirit. No.
It's like using L.A. God.
See, you're making analogies the Bible doesn't make. Now, the Bible has analogies like Sarah and...
You know, the service I made the man. Okay. When Sarah died, both Sarah died. Okay, and Sarah brought the problem on herself.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that this boy not going to share in the inheritance with Isaac. Okay. Because, you know, when a man dies, his possession is the children's inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
So she checked him out. The reason why she checked him out, because she didn't want him to share in the inheritance.
Mm-hmm.
But when Abraham died, it wasn't very much of an inheritance for Isaac. But when Sarah died, Abraham had over 10 11 different wives and father kids by them. So they shared an inheritance. When all that stuff was separated, Isaac was left a very much nothing.
Who says?
If you look at it,
you can draw a conclusion.
I'm not saying I'm drawing a
conclusion
because it is true.
You don't know.
The inheritance goes to his kid.
Well, he was rich.
And
he
was rich.
Okay, then who cares how much each one got?
But what I'm saying here, and his kid has inheritance, and his dad had to be sheriff. But that's what Sarah was warning about. She thinks that all the inheritance will go straight to Isaac.
So what does that have to do with the kingdom?
Is there an inheritance that we going to get choose?
We are the inheritors now.
Right.
We've got
the problem. Yes, yes.
Can we get together again?
Yeah.
If you read Galatians and Hebrews, we'll talk about those.
Yeah, I know. How do you know?
Huh?
Give me alone.
Okay.
I'll make a talk to you.
Well, I do too.
Well, as it says, you just my contractor, and
listen, we can disagree.
Agree.
Be agreeable.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And, you got phone number?
What's your number?
817-996-3926.
What is it, Benjamin? 817.
996.
Wait,
817-996-3926. My name is Harlan Rhodes. And I'm not a clergy. Just a Christian. But I'm also part of the kingdom. R-O-B-E-R-T-S. I'm not a reverend either.
No, I told him about that.
Tell us the way to go.
What's that?
I love the word of God. I love to share. Yeah, but see, you got to understand too that you have to understand another clear picture. You need to look into the world history. One week, I had another great topic.
Well, the world history.
You know,
the world history fits under Bible history.
Right. And then what I'm saying is, it's just because you have to be able to understand. That's why I had another great topic. Was say God.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was being used by God.
Yeah, that's how many people are.
Even Nebuchadnezzar was used by God.
No doubt about it.
That's why he was called. But he Nebuchadnezzar repented.
Mm-hmm.
But his son did.
That's right.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. That's all true. But that doesn't have anything to do with the kingdom. All right, take this down, Mark 9:1.
You can study the word.
I want you to explain to me Mark 9:1 if people are 2,000 years old or if the kingdom came.
Right. And I want you to do this here.
Okay.
Okay. I want you to take blood and ID. That's the first key. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And right down here and go on that side. And go to the right side.
So you're asking this stuff that's not in the scripture.
Yes, sir.
Man, I'm just asking you to do
no,
this.
No.
All right. It's in the scripture.
Well.
Yes, it is.
Well.
Because every name has a meaning. All I'm asking you to do is write down the meaning of a name on the right side.
I don't know the name of all of them. It's not that important.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it is. I won't tell you something.
No, why is it important?
Because every word stated out of the mouth of God is important. And their names and the meaning of their names are important. But their names and the meaning of their names are in the Bible. So what you're saying is not important. Just the way it was. If a person's name means something, my birth name was Talia. And his name means something.
Mm-hmm.
But we're, I don't know if that's true.
No, now, like I'm saying, We've all created all the pieces of things that he created me. The God will give you stuff that you don't already desire. He gives you desire to do more.
To myself?
To all of
them. Who?
He gives us desire for more. What they, he allows us to give us desire for more. What they do to me. That's
true. Now,
just
he loves to say that it's true, but give it to me in the word. He knows how to know it.
Say it wrong. He just lives out of it.
Okay, where is
because it? Because you look at the story, when they were talking about David in the wilderness, you know, David can be complaining about me. God gave some money to come out of there every year. But he gave a job to them.
But the desire of my heart is sometimes sinful.
Well, yeah, it's simple, but it's true. They desire God, they can do what they want. Because they desire to serve with God and to sacrifice their faith and business, and God let them do it.
He allows
them to do it.
So they punish them, too.
Well, you know the well punished will come with your wrong.
So what are you saying? You said that to say what?
The names were chosen sometimes by the parents.
God shall say that this is what it says. It says that the flood will come after when the death of who's the old man over there? Which was Noah's father?
He was 969 years old.
The old man over there?
Methuselah.
He said, when the death of Methuselah was going to be in his will of God.
Where'd you say that? That's not in the Bible. No, it's not. It's not in the Bible.
Where is
it? I'll tell you where is it.
It's not in the Bible.
It's what we can see right there, the first 10 names on the left side. They're like this. The meaning of this man, side by side, then you read it out, and that's what it's doing. That's why I kind of use it.
Well, we'll get together another time.
I want him to be alone and speak in. But since you didn't want to do it alone, I just got that.
So it's a
and even when you read it, and it's a fascinating thing. When you read it, the God bloodline all the way down to 61. You go to the sea, and I'm do that thing. And this earth is being very tight. And he said, the king of heaven like a man formed the and he planted his seed. Notice how the story of the cherubs in the sea. You know how cherubs in the sea. The wheat is the seed of God. And the terror is the seed of faith. You endure the tree by the fruit of the terror. But the man who is
the seed of God.
Well, you don't get to a point. Now get to a point. My point comes around, but he never let me
finish. You don't talk about the joy that you find in the head.
The point is God's seed, no matter what nobody says.
No, oh, yes, they will.
Where?
Who said it'll be God? The parable of the sower. The devil comes and takes
God from them. Yeah, that's the parable of the sower.
Well, same thing, the parable.
Yeah. They would have, they would have rooted those children of the same.
It was the same seed.
When you see that we want to live by that, you don't want to live by that. God, the seed is the word of God. And anyone who calls on the name of us and be saved, anyone,
how will they be saved?
By me?
No. We got James 2 now. James 2 says you're not saved by faith alone.
By work.
Yeah. No. It's what are the works? The works of God, not the works of man. You haven't been
right
by
that.
Not for the right reason.
What denomination were you in?
What
you tell me this morning?
What denomination
were you in?
I'm baptized in the Church of Christ.
In the
vision of the Church of Christ?
Yeah.
When
did you leave?
When did you leave?
I was in the Church of Christ. For 3 or 4 years, the Sister of God just cracked the Lord down around Castle Street. That came up.
Is that a little one? Thank you.